We're programmed to be negative. We're programmed to avoid challenge, hardship, adversity, a little bit of pain. The most important conversations we have are the conversations you have with yourself.
Willpower isn't something we're born with. It's something we build every single day.
I've learned to turn that voice down and turn up the, no, you got this. There are two garbage men in your head. And the garbage comes in, and the garbage men grab it, and they toss it out. So it's going to come in. But do you allow that garbage to sit there, or do you discard it? Do you get rid of it immediately?
Today on Chaban Podcast. Chaban Podcast is presented by Yes You Can, your healthy lifestyle with a Latin flavor. Yes You Can Medical, the telemedicine platform that brings you closer to your best version. Visit now yesyoucanmedical.com.
Hola, hola. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Chaban Podcast. I'm so grateful you guys are here. And if you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button so we can keep growing this beautiful community. And of course, a huge shout out to our amazing partners at yesyoucan.com who continue to support this mission with the best tools for a healthy lifestyle. And talking about a healthy lifestyle from my own experience is nutrition, right? Movement, emotional health. And today we're going to talk about a muscle, but it's a muscle that you cannot see in the mirror. It's not your glutes. Don't worry. It's not your biceps. It's willpower. And remember this, your mind gives up way before your body ever does, right? And I actually talk about this a lot with my amazing coach and friend, Mark Megna. And we have learned, there's a lot of research around it, that we have a brain region that literally grows when we do hard things, like resisting food while dieting or sticking to daily hard workouts. And that it's called the anterior mid cingulate cortex. And it's smaller in people with obesity, but it grows with effort and self-control. I have a friend actually who's been sober for over 20 years, and she always says, the amazing thing about addiction is there's a cure, but it only works one day at a time. And I think that's the truth, right? Change requires daily renewal. I've lost 150 pounds over, you know, 15 years. And basically, it's a daily renewal. Willpower isn't something we're born with. It's something we build every single day. Willpower needs resistance to stay alive. And Mark Megna has been a daily reminder that the greatest opponent, at least for me, right, isn't my body. It's my mind. And I always ask myself, okay, what's the path to growth? And I've learned that it's not about avoiding pain. It's about walking through pain. And nobody lives that truth more than Mark Megna. Mark became an NFL player, then one of the most respected performance coaches in the country. He co-founded the iconic Anatomy Gym. He wrote the book Dream Big, Never Quit right here. And his life story became the powerful documentary, Just a Kid from Fall River. You can find it on iTunes, on Amazon. And he's also built a beautiful family. And his message is super simple, right? And I can hear it right here every single day. Is it's supposed to be hard, right? So, Mark Megna, welcome to the Chaban Podcast. Finally.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. It's an honor. But, you know, first and foremost, shout out to you for your massive transformation. I know it's taken years and years and years. Doesn't happen overnight, as you know. But there's a lot of work involved, and it's not smooth, you know. And I had someone who I respect very much say yesterday, not every day's Christmas. You know, it can be very hard. And you just have to know that you've gotten there. Now, you continue to grow. You continue to stay on that path, but it's going to be hard. You know, it's going to continue to be hard. You just build up more resilience in the process. So shout out to you, because it's been amazing to watch. It's all you, your hard work, your effort, consistency. So congrats.
No, thank you. You've been a huge part of that journey. You have been honestly fundamental to my transformation, not only because you helped me with, you know, the fitness routines. I think that's honestly that you are amazing at it, but that's a small percentage of what we do together. Like, we normally work on my mindset, right?
Yeah, sure.
No matter how many seminars I've done, whenever I go and train with you, you literally help me and continue to remind myself that I'm not broken. I don't need to be fixed. I just need to continue, you know, pushing myself. And and you do that, and it's incredible. What does willpower mean to you now?
Well, you know, it's certainly a vast topic. But willpower to me, I know it has a very specific definition, but willpower to me is your ability to work through, endure, and push through either avoidance or not being distracted by the noise, right? And, you know, you said it earlier, the most important conversations we have are the conversations you have with yourself.
Looking to reset your body and take control of your health? Discover how GLP-1 medications can help balance your hormones, control insulin, reduce hunger, and help you feel fuller longer. All with expert medical guidance every step of the way. Just fill out a quick questionnaire at yesyoucanmedical.com and get your medication delivered straight to your door. No contracts, no subscriptions, just real support. Your healthy transformation starts today at yesyoucanmedical.com.
And everyone says, yeah, I know that. But if you're saying things to yourself that are subtracting, that's a problem. Like, you can't even focus on the physical, the physicality, or, you know, the actionable steps, because you're not talking to yourself in a way that's conducive for forward progress. And listen, I suffer from that too. I have my moments. I have many moments like that. I think what I know I've done is my experiences and the hurdles and the obstacles, just like you, I've learned to turn that voice down and turn up the, no, you got this, right? And I tell everyone that, like, it's important to know that those negative thoughts are going to come in your head, but you have to be able to snap out of it and say, but you can do it.
What's your formula? How do you snap out of it?
Yeah. Well, I give this analogy. There are two garbage men in your head, and the garbage comes in, and the garbage men grab it, and they toss it out. So it's going to come in. But do you allow that garbage to sit there, or do you discard it? Do you get rid of it immediately? Don't spend time processing that, because we're programmed to be negative. We're programmed to avoid challenge, hardship, adversity, a little bit of pain. Yeah, that's real. But at the end of the day, my process is I'm going to speak to myself in such a convicted way that I'm not going to allow myself to wallow in that thought, in those feelings. I'm just going to snap out of it, right? And it's not easy. And that's, I understand, like, this guy's telling me to snap out of it, but look at him. But the truth is, Allie, I struggled just like everyone. We all have a story. We all have adversity. And when I was very young, I was obese and I was very lazy. I was always the victim, always felt sorry for myself. And I realized that through some help from people, my grandfather, coaches, my mother, I felt better when I pushed through something that I didn't want to do. And that's what you said before. Like, your brain grows, but when they say your brain grows, you develop self-confidence by actionable steps. So if you follow through on something, most importantly, that you don't want to do.
Yes You Can is the number one nutrition system for Latinos in the United States. It features supplements made with natural, clinically proven ingredients and designed in a three-phase plan to detoxify, transform, and maintain your best version. Visit yesyoucan.com today and get started.
That's the key.
That you don't want to do. And we've had a lot of conversations like this. Allie, we're going to push this sled six times. And you're like, oh man, I hate this sled. And I go, I understand you don't have to like it, but you do have to do it, right?
Yeah. If I have to define like the biggest lesson I've learned from you is that one, because I had the belief system that, you know, I had transformed my nutrition and I think that, you know, I had the willpower on that area, but I did not have it at the gym, right? I did not have it before I met you, and you have just not only taught me that, but reminded me that, and I can apply that, you know, in every single aspect of my life, because
that's right.
You know, somehow social media, people around you make you believe that, you know, it's going to be easy, or, you know, it's, you're going to love it. Right. And, you know, I have discovered that growth happens just when, you know, when it's not. Yeah. Right. So I love that, because so for people that are listening at home, so if they like broccoli, for example, right. And they continue eating broccoli, that's not going to make them grow. They have to find something they not like it, something that's out of their comfort zone in order to grow. That's right.
So, I mean, by the way, if you're eating broccoli, that's great. Keep eating broccoli. I'm not saying, we're not saying you shouldn't be eating broccoli, but it's like, look, if you, you're not being consistent with your habits and, you know, you don't want to have a healthy meal, whatever it is, hard boiled eggs and like, those are the most important things. Hmm. And most, and even on top of that, if you're telling yourself you can get positive results, it's proven from saying this is a healthy food for me and it's making me better. I'm not suggesting you should say that when you eat a candy bar, but if you believe that it's helping you, guess what? Placebo is real. It works.
Yeah.
Right. So it's even when you're training, like the reason I say those things to you and I say it to all the awesome people I work with is this is helping you. Right. And it's not to convince you, is because I want those thoughts going through your head when you are digging and working and trying to push through something. I'm getting better from this. This is making me feel good. I'm getting stronger. This is great.
Yeah.
I'm better.
And sometimes it also applies what we have discussed in the past, and we learned. We went together through to a Tony Robbins seminar. Right. It was an amazing experience, and amazing. I always remember talking about the 2 millimeter rule, because also, I think you said that last week. You said the art of, you know, betterment, right? The art of improvement, but sometimes we're expecting huge results, right? Yeah. And it's just, it's like the 2 millimeter rule makes a big change.
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, we, as you said before, social media, like I think social media is great. I mean, I get to connect with people I went to school with when I was a kid, college teammates, coaches, friends and family. I think there's a lot of positive messages, but I think it's also very, I guess there's a thing in social media that we all know, you're not getting the full story. Mm. So you have to understand, like, you don't see Warren Buffett's social media and come up. Like I was thinking this morning, and we'll go back to the 2 millimeter, I won't forget, but when I was a kid, I'm 48 years old. I remember watching a story that you know well about a boxer. And he wasn't very good, but he just had this feeling. Mm. I want to be something. I just want to be something. I want to be better than whatever I am. So he would get up early in the morning and he would go for a run and then he would train. And I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. Tomorrow morning in southeastern Massachusetts, it's December and it's freezing. There's ice on the ground. I put my sweatpants out, my sweatshirt, my hat. And I went for a run. And my mother's like, well, why are you going for a run now? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm, by the way, I'm 14 years old. I said, well, I have to do it early because, you know, the guy in the movie did it early and that's going to start my day. Hmm. And I remember running to the, and I wanted to be a good athlete. And I understand, look, I say this for everyone. I became somewhat of a decent athlete. You call it whatever you want. But when I was young in my teens, I wasn't a very good athlete. I remember getting to the field. There's no lights. It's probably 4:30 in the morning now. It's pitch black out. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how many kids that are 14 years old are doing this. Mm. Now, certainly I didn't see any, but that doesn't mean there aren't kids in Texas or California or Mississippi, wherever, right? I'm sure there were, but not many, right? And I remember thinking, I don't want to do this. It's cold. I'm a little bit scared, if I'm being honest, because it wasn't the best part of town. And I'm 14 years old. And I'm about to do my sprints on the interval sprints, which are, by the way, hard. Like, I don't want to do them. I don't like to run. I don't like to feel pain in my chest, but I'm going to do it. And I think,
Was that the day that everything changed?
I mean, I think that if it wasn't that day, it was the days to follow as well, that the process started. And I realized, I didn't know it was what we were talking about now, but I realized that, as you said, the 2-millimeter rule, the micro progressions are everything. Like, if you saw me the next day, you wouldn't see any changes, but I felt better. My mind was getting stronger. I had already done it once, and then I did it twice. And in that week, I did it 5 times. And I'm thinking, I've already been doing this for a week. It's not hard at all. And then I started making it more challenging. Then I started timing myself how fast I got to the field. Then I started time hitting my watch and time sprinting home and see how long it would take me. And I was trying to beat my PR. And I remember doing different things that would challenge me. I remember doing it with something that made me weigh more, you know? So I think we all have to remember that it's good not to have instant gratification. Like, focus on micro progressions. And micro progressions is what we call stacking wins. Stacking wins is, I showed up today, I'm going to show up tomorrow, I'm going to show up the next day, and I'm going to keep doing this. And it's so hard, Allie.
Even if you don't see results right then.
Whoa, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Absolutely. So that's the point. Like, if you know how hard it is, and I know you do, to show up and keep doing something and you feel like you're not making any progress. And everyone would say, well, Mark, why would I do it? Because you have no idea how close you are. Like, you have no idea how close you are. And it's like, you feel like nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing, something's happening. I can feel it. I feel better. I'm faster. I'm stronger. I'm resilient. I have this confidence I never had before. Why is that? Because you've been following through on more things in your life.
Wow. I love that idea, because I think in everything we do, it doesn't matter if it's our relationship, or if it's our, you know, fitness, or if it's work, we're always expecting massive changes, right? And when that does not happen, right, then we go to the gap. Right. We talk a lot about this amazing book called The Gap and the Gain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, instead of measuring against where we have been before, we're always measuring, you know, the big goals and the future and what we haven't accomplished. Right. And I think it's, you know, it brings back to what we have been actually doing every single day, like those small wins. That's going to create the big difference, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think what we're talking about is, all right, yeah, push through adversity and work hard, but the real war happens when this is not going well for me. I don't feel great. I'm tired. I'd rather go out. And, you know, the real training is not being distracted by the things that don't help you. If it doesn't help you, if it doesn't make you grow, if it doesn't add to your world and make you healthier, fitter, feel better, then you discard it, man. You discard it. And I think that that war, if you will, happens, or the most crucial part of things happen when, okay, it's not going well. Are you going to show up tomorrow? Because I can't tell you, like, when I started in sports, if you go back to my hometown, everyone would tell you he was, of all the athletes I hung out with, if there was 10 of them, I was number 11. It's a fact. They were all better. Honestly, they were all better. But I kept showing up. And then this guy went away. This guy had a reason he didn't want to show up. He wasn't having fun anymore. He didn't like it. It wasn't for him. And all of a sudden, I'm still there. Still here. And all of it started to click. We talk about Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours, right? By the time I was 16, I had 20,000 hours. I was doing it all the time, all the time. And I think your listeners should remember that this is supposed to suck. Mm. This is supposed to not be fun. And then I think it's important to talk about, like, someone's going to tell you, well, if you're not enjoying it, you should just stop. Because life, you know, is too short. Mm. And then you're like, oh yeah, I like that idea. If it's not giving me pleasure, I just stop. And then you realize what worthwhile has come easy in your life. Did you snap your fingers and lose 150 pounds? Mm-mm. Do when you work out and you train and we go through hard things, are you like, I love this? No, none of it. But the best things in life are on the other side of, like, hard, period. Mm. That's just what it is. And we have to, you know, I understand, like, look, if someone has a mental health issue, I'm not talking about that. I get it. You need someone to talk to. I've been there. But the point is that don't allow someone to tell you that you should just be in your happy place. You should just feel good all the time. If it's too hard and you don't like it, give up. Like, that's the worst message I hear today. That's the worst message, really.
That's the conversation that we have in our head.
Yeah.
What's the hardest conversation that you had to overcome in your head? And how did you rewrite it?
You know, I know it's cliche now, but, like, imposter syndrome. Like, I've had a version of it my whole life. I played my whole life since I've been six. I played ice hockey, baseball, football. I played some basketball. It was terrible. But I gravitated towards, I played baseball early, and I played baseball because someone in my family wanted me to be a baseball player. But the way they forced it on me, I didn't like it. So I gravitated towards ice hockey and football, American football. And those are two contact sports. There's hitting involved. So it's another story altogether, but I had frustration that led to aggression, that led to sport violence that I needed to get out. And it gave me the perfect arena. I can do whatever I want. I'm not going to get in trouble. I can be as physical and aggressive as possible, and they like it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, this is great for me. Like, I love being here. I can fight this guy right in front of me and it's not a problem at all. It's not a problem. And I was like, ooh, because growing up, if someone made fun of me, number one, I couldn't defend myself because I wasn't very strong. I certainly wasn't tough. And then over time, I was like, okay, I changed my body. I changed my mind. I got stronger. I got more explosive. And I learned that I'm not tough, but if someone puts their hands on me, I know I can defend myself. So out there on the field, I was just defending myself, right? And I was giving it back to them. I mean, they say, you know, the best way to face the things that scare you, that chase you in the night, or is to stop and turn around and face them. Mm. And on the field, I would stop and turn around. So to your point, the thought in my head was, I had such a strong level of imposter syndrome, I had to stop those conversations and say, dude, you woke up at 4 a.m. But call it whatever you want. There's always going to be someone listening that said, he believes he's special. Dude, I woke up at 4 a.m. I didn't complain. Listen, no one told me to do it. I did not have a coach. I did not have a personal trainer. I did not have someone to say, you should be doing this. I did it myself. There was no social media saying, check me out what I'm doing in the morning. I didn't even tell anyone. I just got up and I did it and I trained myself. And I remember when I had that idea, Allie, that you're really not good enough, mm-hmm. I would say, but wait a minute, no one else did it. So you might not be where you want to be, but give yourself credit for mm-hmm. what you've done. At least acknowledge how far you've come. And I think that's an important message. Mm. It's okay to want more, to want to do more, to want to be more, but you should always acknowledge how far you've come. Mm-hmm. So once I started having better conversations in my head and talking to myself in a better way, I started to say, like, it became a muscle memory response. Like my mindset was like, yeah, you can do this. And there's always going to be people tell you that, you know, he's not good at this. He's not good. Oh, I don't like him for this. He doesn't do well. And I'm like, I don't care what you think.
You still hear some of those thoughts?
Yeah, of course.
Like now?
Yeah, of course. It goes, I mean, I think maturity is a huge part of it. You know, I like to believe that, you know, I certainly have my moments, but at times it's like, look, I say this all the time, like on the field, when we talk about the aggression and physicality and violence, when people ask me about sports, I say the reason I was somewhat effective in sports is because I was the most aggressive, violent kid. I know I was.
So you took all the rage that you had.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, people watching it were like, dude, that young man is very angry.
Where that rage came from?
I think, like, you know, when you're growing up and there was the perfect storm of circumstances. Listen, my life wasn't hard. It's just that these things, for example, they were hard for a young person. Hmm. It was what was going on in my home and with my family. You know, sometimes I was afraid. Sometimes I was like hiding. Sometimes I didn't want to witness what was happening.
What was happening, if you don't mind?
Yeah, just, you know, very uncomfortable things with domestic, you know, issues and arguing and fighting. And it was something that it's just not healthy to grow up in. And when you're a young person, you just want it to stop. Mm. You just want it to go away. And those feelings, like, because you're young, you have a lot of emotional regulation. And I remember, all right, you have that in your system and you're walking around and now someone's making fun of you because you're obese or fat. And then someone's making fun of you because you're not that smart. And then someone's making fun of you because of this. And you're just like, dude, like, I don't like being treated this way. Mm. So when you get in the field, they go, we're going to give you a helmet. You're going to put this helmet on and see that guy over there. You got to make sure you stop him. And I was like, I can do that. and I had watched a bunch of football tapes and everything. And when they gave him the ball, I just sprinted after him and I just hit him as hard as I could. And I remember hitting him and it was like, I felt like this stimulation, this dopamine hit, like that was one of the best things I've ever experienced in my life. And so what do I want?
More.
More.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the pain basically fueled
your drive. Yeah. I mean, there was an aggressive feeling in there. And I realized that. And you said, does it ever go away? It definitely fueled my drive. I mean, it's interesting when you look at someone who makes one tackle, right? That's when they hit a guy, right? And then someone else, why does he have one and he has 20? Hmm. Because I was so anxious to get that feeling again. Like I really wanted that feeling. And it wasn't like a pat in the back. It was like that, you know, you can say someone's not fast, someone's not strong, someone's not smart. But when they snap the ball, if I get to that guy first and hit him hard, all of a sudden, I'm pretty good.
Mm. You were rewarded.
Yeah,
by it.
And yeah, self-rewarded. And I was thinking, you can say whatever you want. That's like if we're racing, we do a 3-mile run, it's a race, and I cross the finish line first. You could say, he's not a very good runner. I say, but I won. You can say whatever you want, but I won. So there's always going to be someone that says to try to minimize what you do, minimize your achievements, talk trash behind your back. And those are all character things, but you can say whatever you want, but those results are undeniable.
Wow.
Period. So, you know, I didn't answer your question. As I got older, I started to realize that those feelings of aggression and the way I handled things, that only helps me in the field of play and in sports.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It helped you transforming that, basically that pain into power right back then, but you couldn't just continue using everywhere.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that helped me tour in football. But the second I stopped playing football, it's like, look, all those skills that you have, you can't use them anymore at all. And I was like, that's why it was so hard to transition into other things, because I'm like, but wait a minute, that's what I'm good at. And then they're telling you, you got to find something else.
Wow.
And I was thinking, well, I have a lot of work to do because I've never had to rely on other skills. So, and I had to really work hard on myself and, you know, communication, be a better listener, understand that my tone's not always good. My delivery's not always good. My energy's not always good. My body psychology is not always good. And I need to understand if I want people to give me good energy, I have to give them good energy.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. We're gonna go back to that because I think that, you know, that the NFL experience you had impacted your whole life, and we'll go back to it. I want to go back to, we've known each other for over 10 years, and I can see in your eyes, every time you talk about your mom, right, your eyes light up, right? Yeah. So your mom is your hero.
Yes, she is.
What do you think is the, you know, the greatest lesson she gave you?
I love that question. Of course, she is my hero. And, you know, I have a son now, as you know. And when I see the bond between my wife and my son, I'm like, I smile and I understand what that is. Because he already says, no, this is for mommy. And I laugh and I go, it's wild how it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And that was the bond that I had with my mom. Like, I would have done anything to make her life easier. And I tried so hard. And it's so interesting because the lesson that you asked, like, what is the biggest lesson she taught me? And here's the lesson. The lesson is she never gave up. Mm. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm a parent with my wife. Shout out to my wife. She is an extraordinary woman. She's a wonderful wife. She's an incredible mom. She does the work. She does. I'm there to do as much as she wants me to do. I want to do as much, but we have two parents. My mom was one person. Mm. She didn't have one job. Most of the time she carried two, at times three. And she was raising two boys with no father figure in a small apartment doing her best. And there were times I would come home, my mother would be crying. And I'd be like, oh man, why is she crying now? She's crying because she's barely making it work and it's a lot of stress and she's by herself. Mm. Now we had relatives that jumped in and helped out. Of course we did. That was great. But my mom did the work 90% of the time, like by herself. So the lesson she taught me was like, as much as she wanted to probably give up at times, she never gave up.
Mm. Never quit.
Like that, book, that's right? What I mean. Like that's a real thing. And, you know, we say, what's the best lesson? Just look, if something's not for you, it's not for you. But you really have to figure out why. Like when you cut, you have to figure out, is it my ego? Is this because, you know, I just don't want to go through hardship, or do I really need to keep going? Like when you cut something off, you cut it off and there's a good reason. And I respect everyone's reasons, but a lot of times people are just afraid of, you know, I just don't want to do that. Hmm. I don't want to do that. And I'm pretty sure my mother didn't want to go through life raising two boys by herself, but she did, you know, and the best lesson was, you know, and she was a very happy person, very enthusiastic person. And, she used to do this thing. When I was younger, my mom took me to the doctor. The doctor's name was Dr. Jean Lemaire, tall gentleman, very nice pediatrician. And he would put you on a table and he would feel your knees and he'd feel your ankles and your shoulders. And I remember him saying, you know, your son's a big boy. He's going to play professional football. And my mother said, football? And she said, yeah, like the Patriots. He's going to play for the Patriots. And I was like, wow, that made me feel so good that he said that. And my mom would say, yeah, you heard the doctor. You're going to play for the Patriots. When you tell my mother something, she never forgets it. So every time I walked in a room, she'd say, she would announce it. She would go, Mark Megna, the New England Patriots. And I would go, why do you say that? She's like, well, that's what the doctor said. You're going to play for the Patriots. So we know how this works. We talk about this a lot. She would plant that seed every single day. Every single day she would plant that seed.
She didn't even know she was planting
right.
seed.
She had no idea. Just... But she thought it was funny. And like, she was like, she loved her son. She's like, Mark Megna, the New England Patriots. And I'd be like, it's so embarrassing. Like, why do you say that? Like, you, I said, look at the way I look. I'm never going to play for the Patriots. She's like, no, you will. And I was like, over time, I'm like, yeah, maybe I will. You know, and it started to like kind of merge, you know, it's very interesting, but.
How do you use that now with Maddox? How do you prime
people? Oh man, I, you know, the things that I tell, I'm very specific with my words. I'm very careful with my words. Like, you know, they say in child psychology, like telling a kid he did a great job isn't the best way. Telling a young person that I am proud of you for the effort that you put in and that you tried, that's the most important part. And so whenever I tell him, like, he'll do it now. I say, what's the most important thing to give? And he said, effort. He'll say it right now. Effort. He said, what do you always have to give? I said, what is the most important thing you got to put towards an action? He'll say effort. He's 2.5. And then if you say, you always got to be, he goes, your best. And I'm like, and I said, and if you don't give your best, that's okay. Mm. But just know, to get better, you have to give your best. He says it now. Wow. It's wild. It's wild. But as you know, the programming is everything. And yeah. I just want him to understand that he can do whatever he wants to do, but he just has to make sure that he's giving his best effort. To me, that's everything.
Hmm. What would you tell your mom now? As a 48-year-old.
Well, what I tell her every morning, I have like this conversation every morning. I said, you know, I'm going to do it right today. I'm going to do my best. And I know it's possible. And I'm only here because of you and the sacrifices that you made. But I give you my word, I'm going to do my best. Today, I'm going to do my best. And I say, sometimes I'll say it like on Instagram. I said, today, I'm going to, what's my plan? If we're doing a row or something really cheap, and someone will ask me, so I said, my plan is to do my best. Hmm. And I know what my best is. And I know what my best is not. Right? And I know it sounds cliche, but I tell her that I'm here because of you, because she gave her best. And I think that's the most important thing. Wow. If you could have an honest conversation with yourself and say, you know, that wasn't my best, but I know what it is. And you're not always going to be able to just snap your fingers and push and be the best I can. But as long as you're honest with yourself, you can go, I have more to give. Mm. That's a really important conversation that you have with yourself.
You don't talk much about your dad. How did that relationship or absence, right, shape you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't talk about it much, but quickly I'll tell you that because I didn't know him and have a relationship with him, like, number one, I'm not angry at him. I mean, obviously for a large part of my life I was, but I'm not angry.
How did you heal that? Yeah. That?
I mean, I just, you know what? If we have a disagreement, I always think like, you never know what's going on in someone's life. You never know what's going on in someone's life. I remember, let me think, 2021. There's a person, and I'll go back. There's a person that I was training. I had trained him for 12 years. And he took some time off. He wanted to train again. And I was like, okay, let me get back to you with some times. Now, something happened with my wife. It was a medical thing. I could care less about anything else. I'm being honest with you. I know you have to keep it professional and keep working and all that stuff, but I was like, this is really a big one. I got to focus on this. And because I was so distracted, I didn't get back to him. And the medical thing kind of continued. And when I messaged him, I said, I'm so sorry. And he said, don't worry about it. You've made your priorities clear. You know, it's all good. I've already moved on. And I was like, I trained him for 12 years. He didn't even ask me if there was something that was going on. And I thought, because of the 12 years, maybe there could have been a conversation, right? So, but the reason I'm saying that is because you never know what's going on in someone's life. Like with my father, I didn't know what was going on in his life. Like I have no doubt that he had carried a lot of weight and there were probably demons in there. And if I could go back and spend some time, I know it's, you're not supposed to be the kid who helps the father, but if I could have a conversation with him now, I wish that there was someone there to like help him. Really. And, you know, I say this often, but he taught me more by not being present than he probably ever would have if he was around. Meaning like, I'm a father. You know what's really important when you're a father? To show up. That's the most important part. Show up. And I might not be a great dad. I might not do this right. But if you show up, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. So I think showing up's important. I think, you know, him like understanding like, I mean, there's a lot of things that I could share. I'm probably not ready to share them right now, but I just think that I just have this feeling and I'm probably making it up, but he would have wanted the best for me. Of course, like what man doesn't want the best for their son, you know? And I just think that he was had a lot of things going on and I don't resent him for it. You know, I have a piece of my heart that has a relationship with him, even like after he passed and, you know, I never got to say certain things to him or vice versa. But I think those experiences, you can say, you know what? I can make it better. Like we all talk, Allie, about relationships with your significant other, your relationships with business, family. Now you grew up a certain way and some things weren't great, but you have made a decision. I am going to make it better with the relationships I have now. You cut the cycle, right?
Yeah.
The generational cut. Now moving forward, everyone in your world is going to get a better version of communication because you're like, you know what? That's not a great way. And by the way, when I do it that way, the old school way, maybe that's not, there are some great things about old school, but maybe there, I want good energy around. So I have to handle things differently, you know, and I'm not insinuating I'm perfect, but I know what good effort means in relationships and communication. And sometimes I don't do that. And I have to be like, you know, I got to be better.
So I think when you heal, when you do the work, everything and everybody around you heals.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Starts healing because you end that cycle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you do therapy?
I have in the past, but like, you know, I'll tell you, I remember a woman said this to me. She said, you know, driving, she's like, oh, don't drive by my high school because it gives me trauma. She said, that's not trauma. That means you had bad experiences in high school and it was bad. But, you know, I think the majority of, I think there's a lot of things that I have done for self-help to just try to figure out my way, my patterns, my behavior. And a lot of therapy I had was through like sports and like self-confidence. And that therapy trickles down. Confidence is in everything, right?
Yeah.
You know, like it just, as I said before, I'm 48 years old now, and I realize that when people put those things out and project those things out, like, that's yours. That's yours.
Yeah.
And there's very few people that I work through things with, but I enjoy it. I enjoy, like, you know, as you know, some relationships, man, you, like, you crash, you hit heads, you have arguments, but you're actually better from it, you know? But you have to make a choice. I just don't understand this whole, I'm never talking to you again. I've never even seen something like that. Like, I don't know, I don't feel, and I'd like to hear your thoughts, is that the best way to go about something? Especially if you have time in with someone. If you have a friendship, even if it's not a friendship, some sort of relationship, and your thing is, we had a conversation, that's it, it's over. Like, that's odd to me, how someone could just hang up the phone and like never talk again. I just don't understand the whole concept of I'm not going to deal with it. But I guess maybe they are telling themselves that's how they deal with it. You know, I feel like the ghosting thing is like very interesting to me. What are your thoughts on it?
That's interesting. I think that like everybody heals differently.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think some people need some space.
Okay.
Some people are not built to like have the conversations you want, or this type of conversations.
The reason people don't deal with things is because they can't. right? So like, if I could, I would deal with it.
Exactly.
But you know, I think that there are people like yourself and there are people out there. Look, anyway, someone decides to handle something, they're not going to be wrong because they believe that's best for them. But as we know in life, the most rewarding thing in the world is like helping other people and working through things. I just think it's important to note that the things that you do are going to affect others. More specifically, the people that you've allowed to be close with you in your life. Mm. So you have a responsibility to do your best and work through things to a point.
Yeah.
Because just saying, you know, and this is not poking at you, but, you know, I heal my own way and it's most important is how I feel. Of course, that's the truth. But also it's like there's a person in front of you and you have to be mindful of that because the world would be a better place if we were more mindful and respectful of the people in front of us and vice versa.
It's so
right?
true.
Vice versa. So as you said, it makes a lot of sense. They don't deal with it because they can't. And then, you know, the tools that you have now, you didn't have 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So
going to that point, going 20 years ago, what happens when you reach a dream, right? You play for the NFL. Mm-hmm. Finally, you made that dream come true and it ends.
Yeah.
You know, where does willpower go then?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what do you do? What did you do actually?
Yeah. There's a scene where all of a sudden this is the Rocky Balboa podcast and we're talking about the movie Rocky a lot.
That's my favorite movie.
Yeah, it's such a good movie. By the way, I'll tell you something very funny. We were in a team meeting and I was in there with a bunch of body architects and they said, yeah, what's an inspirational movie? I said, Rocky. And they said, what's that? And I said, we need to stop this meeting and play Rocky. That's the next three meetings are going to be Rocky 1, 2, and 3. And I don't think they've done it, but I'm like, if you want to be motivated, like, or get some inspiration, let's be honest, right? Anyway, there's a scene in Rocky where Apollo.
Hey, bros, it's too long.
I know. That's what I mean. I'm like, the whole point of Rocky is enduring. Like, you have to sit through it.
Exactly.
And you're like, man, this guy has no luck. He's not good. He's a loser. And then all of a sudden, he's like the best athlete in the world. And everyone's like, where did that come from? Anyway, so there's a scene in Rocky where Apollo Creed, his nemesis, who becomes his best friend, says, I have to fight. And he's like, you're too old to fight. And he says, I don't think you understand. We come from something, a special breed that you just don't turn off and don't turn it on. Now you can modify the way you go about things. But when you have something in there like that, that doesn't go away.
Mm.
It doesn't go away. So first of all, like when you train for something, I train for that sport from 6 to 31 years old. So when people say, I said, that's a huge part of my life.
Wow.
Like there were things I never even knew existed because I was in a film room studying film and I had practice every day that whole time.
Wow.
And then if it wasn't practice, it was running. If it wasn't running, it was a weight room. If it was a weight room, it was studying film. So like, and then when it stops, it's like, what do you do with those skills? You either coach or become an analyst. And you probably find a coaching job, but I had a love-hate relationship with football, meaning I love football, and when it stopped loving me, I hated it.
Mm.
I didn't watch football for 2 years after I stopped playing. I was like, I'm not watching. I don't care. I'm not watching it. Don't you want to watch the game? I'm not watching. No, I have no interest. You know, and it was like, oh, you're angry. I'm like, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
Mm.
You know?
Were you disappointed in you?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I know that. You know what? Listen, there's two reasons you stop playing football. You get injured or you're not good enough. And it was a little bit of both, you know? So there's always a new model coming in. Mm.
Do you think you sabotage it unconsciously?
Well, some of the behaviors weren't exactly helping, you know, like, you work so hard, you know, you get to a place like Rocky Balboa. He gets to a place by, you know how Rocky became Rocky and the champion? Working didn't care about money, didn't care about this, didn't care about that. Only thing he's caring about is training and focus. He lives in a studio apartment, and then he gets all the money, gets the mansion, gets the cars, gets everything. And then all of a sudden, he's not training the way he used to train. He's not as hungry as he used to be, right? I'll never forget, I was the captain of the New England Patriots. I sat down at lunch with him. His name was Teddy, Teddy Bruschi. And I said, hey, can I ask you a question? He goes, yeah. I said, I noticed that you're driving a Honda Accord. I said, why is that? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, Teddy, there's a Lamborghini, there's a Ferrari, there's a Escalade, there's all these beautiful cars. You're driving a Honda Accord. He goes, well, why do I need to drive a fancy car? I said, I'm not saying you need to, but I'm just curious. Like, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, the reason why is because once I have everything I've ever wanted, I believe that I won't be as hungry. And I was like, wow. And he was very good. Mm. And he could have afforded those things, but he just wanted to live a very modest lifestyle. Because when he stepped out on that field, he had to have that hunger, right?
Wow. What was your self-worth tied to your performance?
Oh, yeah.
To your body, to your, you know.
Yeah, that's the reason for the therapy. Yeah, I mean, I was like, if I don't have a good game, like, I'm pissed. I'm not happy. Listen, I'm not happy with the way I look. I'm not happy with the way I feel. I'm not happy with what I watch on the game film. It was like, I think many athletes are OCD or obsessive about their ways. I certainly shared some of those things. And, when you're obsessive, like, you're not obsessively kind to yourself. You're also obsessively mean to yourself. And I was like, you know, if I had a good game, man, you feel like a rock star. Then when football ended, like, for me, I was like, I had no self-worth. I was like, I'm a nobody. Like a nobody. And I was thinking, how do you go from playing in front of, like, you know, large crowds of people to I'm a ramping trainer at a gym that no one knows who I am. I have to clean the weight room floor and I make minimum wage. I mean, that's pretty, talk about the Jerry Maguire line. It's an up at dawn, before dawn, day in and day out, pride swallowing experience that you want to talk about being humbled.
Yeah.
Like, the world will humble you. And you're like, that's why when I've been training for like 20 years and I've been in the industry 20 years. So when I see the trainers like working, I actually understand it's not easy. Mm. It's very hard. And I do understand what they're going through. That's why we work so hard to create an environment where they can do their best work. Because I want them treated like they are ultra professionals and they are well respected.
Wow. What did you do? Like, what was your relationship with ego?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like when, as soon as football stops, the ego gets like smashed down. It's like, I know you thought you were something special, but it turns out you're not. And you have to start all over. I remember, I moved to Miami and I remember waiting in line. I was waiting in line, to interview, to rent a room in a 3-bedroom house from an ad I saw on Craigslist. And I was waiting in line. I don't know if there were 15 or 20 people in line, but I'm like, I can't believe I got to wait in line to interview to see if I can get this room. And when I interviewed with the guy, his name was Jason. He became a good friend of mine from Indiana. He was a former United States Marine. So I interview, he's showing me the apartment, he tells me what the rent is, and then he calls me that night and says, hey, I just want you to know, if you want the room, it's yours. And I was like, can I ask you a question? Why did you pick me? And he goes, because it's Miami Beach and there are a lot of weird people in that line and you seem semi-normal. So we're looking for normal people. Yeah. And I was like, he's like, I don't know you, but you seem normal. So I said, okay, great. So I moved in there and then I was like 3 blocks away from a gym that I was working at. And when I started in the gym, no clients, nothing. I'm like, man, I really got to figure this out because I need money.
Wow.
Right. I wanted to help people, but I need money to eat. Yeah, being honest. Yeah. Right. So I'm training everyone for free. I'm trying to get it going. I'm trying to build a reputation, build a clientele, learn the craft. And I remember coming home and I'm looking in the bathroom. The bathroom's super small. And I look in the mirror and I'm like laughing, but I'm crying. I'm crying. I'm definitely crying. And I'm thinking, I don't know how I got here. Like, how did that happen so fast? Meaning, like, I'm driving to the stadium, 80,000 people, you know, it's this life where you're getting these big paychecks. And now all of a sudden I'm like, I just got a paycheck for like $36. And I'm like, I really, really, really have to hold it together. Because everything, you know, you want to quit. You feel like you want to give it, but where are you going? Like where, you know, you could do a lot of things. You have options, but where, like what? Whatever you pick, you have to start at the bottom, which is fine because that's what it was. But I hadn't done that for like 26 years. And I'm like, it is like, oh, it's easy. And it wasn't easy for me. Mm. It was very hard for me. Mm. But it's like the whole journey, Allie, was having those conversations, reassuring yourself like the whole time.
Wow.
Like I'm in the bathroom and I'm crying and I'm like wiping my eyes and I'm like, it's fine. Everything's going to be fine. You're doing a great job. And I just leave the bathroom and I'm like, every time I go into the bathroom, I'm like, all right, we're good. You're not going to cry. You know? Wow. It was so like, you know, like emotional and maybe depressing, but it was also comical because I'm like, man, you got to laugh, you got to find humor and you got to be like, you know, this is what I got to do. And this is, by the way, it was what I wanted to do as well. I wanted to be a trainer. I wanted to be in fitness wellness. I did want to help people. I grew up, fitness helped me tremendously. So I wanted to give that gift to other people. Like we share moments together. And I said, you know what? Once I start doing well in this, I know I'm going to make an impact and I know things are going to go well.
It's just going to take some time. That's what gets you going every single day. Like I see you working, you getting up at 3 a.m, working throughout the day and passionately changing people's lives and growing anatomy. And is that still in your head? Like what do you see in the mirror today?
Yeah. I mean, listen, everyone that's involved, like my business partners, we all have our vision of things, right? But the vision is like, we know what it is now, right? I mean, I have my own personal vision on how I'm going. I like to help people. Like just having we call them micro conversations with people in the gym. Like we tell the team that, or I tell the team that, how often do you think a person that comes into the facility gets told something positive? Like how often do you think that happens? And we've talked about this. They're going to go, maybe their family doesn't appreciate them as much as they would like. Maybe their work demands more of them where they're not getting, you know, any sort of attaboys or good jobs. This may be the only moment that you could say, you know what? I saw you here. Yes. I saw a guy this morning. I said, you know, I saw you here yesterday and I saw you here today. How was training? So it was really hard. I said, what's the hardest day? He goes, leg day. And I said, you know, but you do it and you've been doing it and you can see it's working, right? That's awesome. I mean, keep it going. That's awesome, man. Like that may mean nothing to him. I don't know, but sharing a positive moment like that, that's the mission, right? And then trying to grow the brand so we can help more people and be a positive part of their fitness and wellness portfolio. Mm. That's a big deal. Like there are places that are the most, you know, toxic, ego-driven, or superficial. There's a touch of that in everything, right? But we want to exist to be a great space for people to go, you know, I love that place. I love the energy there. You know, like if they open their eyes and lift up their head and make eye contact, they're going to go, people are very nice here. Like, but that's the goal. We want to be nice. We want to be kind. Why we push ourselves, why we, you know, chase our goals, why we, you know, all want to become better versions of ourselves, but in our own way, you know, and that's the mission. Like that really is the mission. And that's a beautiful part of, I'm fortunate fortunate to have the people in our day to day that they believe that, you know, they work hard to make it an awesome experience, you know, and I like being around them. We don't have any negative, any toxic, like they're all good people, man. They're all good people.
How does it feel now when you look, you know, on Instagram, Anatomy, number one gym, iconic brand. Every celebrity wants to go there. Everybody loves the brand you have built with your team. How does Mark feel? Like, do you acknowledge it? Do you feel it? Do you praise yourself?
I mean, I do think it's a good practice not to get lost in those things, to be honest. I do appreciate it, and it makes me very happy, but I immediately think of either business partners, team members, people who make it work every single day.
But to that guy that was in that small apartment, have you sat down with him and saying, you know, well, good job, man?
Yeah, I know. I probably need to do that, spend time doing that. But I think it's in, like, everyone has a story. And I think it's interesting how, like, you can forget. Remember we said, like, it's okay to want more, but just recognize how far you've come. And I think that that's a good drill to do. But I think it's, it makes me smile. It makes me happy. It makes me almost laugh that it got really dark there for a minute, right? And then you're like, you know, I don't know if you're on the other side, but life, I'm very fortunate, you know? I have an awesome wife, an amazing son. Our dog is amazing. You know, I love spending, you know, and then the people, I'm serious, the people that we get to work with, that I get to work with, and that I always think, when you see like best gym, I think about all the work that's being done that no one sees. From the GM to the AGM to the sales team to the detail team that cleans the build. I'm like, people have no idea how hard those people work. And they go, what do you mean? I go, would you want to pick up towels all day and clean the place all day? That's a hard job. And no one even, you know.
I'm probably, they're the ones going back to the small houses.
That's what I mean.
Thinking what you were thinking.
Oh, for sure.
Just dealing about our mindset as well.
For sure. And by the way, you want those people on the team. You want those people who, I got a dream. Like I know it sounds corny, but of course we want those people on the team, right? Like, you can get, you know, whatever you want, you should go after it.
Mark, I've known you for 10 years, and every time I walk into Anatomy at 5 a.m., here I see you, right, drenched in sweat, like working harder than everybody. Like, where does that fire come from? What goes through your head when, you know, you don't want to do it, you're tired, you're doubting yourself, you know, but you keep showing up? Like, what do you tell yourself?
I mean, it's two parts. The first of all, I don't believe in working harder than everyone else. I know I'm working hard, but I don't believe in working harder than everyone else. I have a high appreciation for effort and like getting to a certain place to get the dopamine and to feel like, I want to feel like I'm overcoming something. Otherwise, I want to feel that. That's just me. But how
did you train yourself to show up? Because when the alarm goes on for me, right, I have always been tempted to text you. I've never done it, to text you and say, you know, sorry, I got intoxicated last night. Every single day I have the same single thought.
That's
right?
Interesting.
Like, I just want to, you know, I just don't want to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
But your image, like working super hard and like drenched in sweat, like it always keeps me going, because I said, okay, you know, he looks amazing. He's a beast. He's working super hard. I'm gonna try to follow that footstep.
Yeah.
Like, what goes through your mind? Who do you follow? Like, because people say, you know, find your mentors. Who mentors you?
Yeah. I never wore, I know I had them, but I never really wore like a jersey of like a professional athlete. You know, there were a lot of athletes that I looked up to, but there was never a person that I was like, well, there was one person, my college football coach. Like, I wanted to be like him because he had this great energy and he cared about people. And he was tough, but he cared about people. I just know it. But what I tell myself is, think about it. In my life, there are people who, when I needed them, they didn't show up. They didn't show up. Like, they weren't there. Meaning, like, I remember this is definitely an overshare, but two different things. When I was in the football field, I remember in high school, all the parents were at practice. And I remember we had a player named Kevin, and he would say, I hate when my dad's here. He really does a stare at me, and he watches me. He says, he's such a, why doesn't he just go home? I can't believe he's at every practice. And I was like, I would kill to have my mom or dad here. Right. And my mom couldn't because she was working. And, you know, my dad had his own reasons. He was never there, but it's fine. And I was like, and then the second thing was my parents got divorced. I was very young. Right. And this is a lot, but the dad gets visitation, right? So he picks the kids up on the weekend. So Friday night, I go out there to wait for my dad. So 2 hours later, he's not there. 3 hours later, he's not there. My mother is crying, saying, it's something probably happened. He's not there. So I go inside. But Saturday morning, I go back out there, and I'm sitting there waiting. I said, no, he's going to show up. He's going to show up. No. Sunday night, I'm out there thinking he's going to show up. I'll get to spend some time with him. Never showed up. So my something that is ingrained in me now is I show up. Like, I show up and I'm going to be there. Like, I don't, like, we have this thing where we ask people, what's your superpower? My superpower is I keep showing up. That's what I do. And it's important to me, especially if I tell someone I'm going to be there. If I'm going to be there, if I'm not there, there's a really big problem. Something bad happened. But my point is, like, that's what I tell myself. I show up and I'm going to keep showing up. And by the way, for the people who are in fitness and wellness, and I don't want to show up, I don't want to get up so early. On the softer note, like, think about it. The hardest thing in the world is getting up and getting there. Once you get there, dude, like, I tell people, hey, tell you what, you don't have to train, but get up, come to the gym. And if you want to go home, go back home. No one's ever left the gym. They're like, I'm already here. No one's here. I can get some stuff in. I'm like, that's the whole point. Who wants to get out of their bed with the sheets on, comfortable, with a loved one, with the dog? Like, of course you don't want to get out of bed. But that's why you got to get out of bed. You got to get up and you got to go. Because if you stop.
Do you feel the same thing I feel?
Of course. We all think. I mean, now it's a little, it gets easier.
I mean, because you build that muscle.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But yeah, for sure. We all.
You're human also.
Yeah. We're all, like, I definitely feel like, so, like, you may feel it like this. Maybe I feel it like this, right? So, but I think we all feel it. But the person that gets up and goes, that's the person that understands, you know, the Mel Robbins thing. If I spend too much time processing this, I'm going to be stuck in it. Yeah. I can't allow to wallow in it I'm getting up and I got to go. You can think about it once you get to the gym. Get to the gym.
Yeah.
Or go do whatever it is you don't want to do. Just go.
It's just like, go. 5, 4, 3, 2.
By the way, yes, boom. Mel Robbins. But that's the discipline. Discipline is knowing that I'm not going to allow this thought to sit more than 5 seconds. Mm. That's what discipline is. And people go, oh, discipline, you're so disciplined. One of the things I know that I've gotten better at over the years is saying, nope, turn it off, let's go. If you can do that, you're like, wow, how did I get myself here? By turning that off and going.
Yeah. So before we finish, one person you would love to train and why?
Yeah, 100% I would love to train and why. That's a good question. to train. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. Like I saw something this morning.
Or to train with.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, I don't know. I had lunch with Arnold Schwarzenegger once. Yeah. And it was all, he was very funny, making fun of my biceps. But he said, you need to train your biceps as well. I'm like, I just trained my biceps this morning. He's like, yeah.
Well,
yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, yeah. Like, that's right. That's what he did. He's like, well, I wouldn't tell anyone that. I'm like, this guy's making fun of me at the table, right? But probably either him or like Stallone. Or I'm a movie kid. I grew up watching movies. I love those guys, and they were fit. You know, though they're heroic like people. I love to train them. You know, just or work out with them, just because. You know, they provided me with so much. Imagery, is that a word? Images and vision and like just inspiration over the years. I thought that was pretty cool. Like,
what would you ask them about their mindset and their willpower?
I would ask them about, I love the Stallone story. I love them. Like, I want them to tell me exactly what I'm telling you. What's their version? Like, how did they, because you can say what you want about Arnold. To come over here from another country, to be the governor. Like, I mean, the guy's a wild success. Now, I don't know what his success is like in his personal life or his family. That's completely different. But, I mean, I think that these guys have something. But I value people who are good family people. They're good. I often say, if your life's in turmoil in certain places, then it's going to be turmoil in your professional relationships. And I value the family stuff, the business stuff, the relationship stuff. I always say, you want to know something about a person, figure out who their friends are and if they have them. And there are some people that go, I mean, people have told me they don't have any friends. That speaks volumes.
Wow.
You know? So... probably one of those guys.
That's our next topic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our next podcast. Because you're great at, we talked about this, proximity is power, right?
Yeah.
And you've been great at surrounding yourself with great people. How do you do that? How do you choose your tribe?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't think yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think, I agree with that, but I don't think I choose them. I think like there's something that kind of happens.
That's probably one of your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always say I don't have, I know many people, but I don't have a lot of friends, you know, but a lot of wonderful people in my life. But I think that when you show up as a polite, respectful, kind version of a human being, you usually attract pretty good people. I think that, you know, in the one, there are people that I want that in my life, and there are people that want that in their life, you know. And then, you know, I've been fortunate to be around some amazing people in the field, athletes, clients, that they're just, like many of the people that I've trained in my life, they're still in my life. Like, I talk to them. I talked to a guy from Russia the other day that I trained for many years. We talk, you know. Like, I'm connected to them. It's not like I train them and they're gone. I mean, I got a guy I talked to in Egypt, Russia, you know, people all over the world, Spain. And it's like, those are, like, I know those people. And they'll ask me questions. And I'm like, no, I know a person who lives there well. And I'll mention the name. Like, oh my gosh, I know that person. I'm like, that's people that you accumulate as great, I was going to say comrades, but like people in life, you know.
So my last question is, who is your favorite client and who drives you?
Well, obviously,
you're not
other than you. Yeah. 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 But I think, I mean, that could be a podcast in itself. I mean, like how many, do you know how many times, and not anymore.
Do you know how many times we fought?
Yeah. I'm like, man, he's like, no. You're like, yeah. No, I believe. I said, I know what you believe. I'm going to tell you what I believe as well. I heard you. You're going to hear me. Yeah, no. That stuff's real. But as we said before, those moments kind of suck. But in those moments, you know that I hate this, but it's going to be better because it gives you a better perspective. And you're like, you know how it is. We've talked about this many times. You don't have to agree, but you have to understand at least where it's coming from, you know, and then agree. Like, you know, we've talked about it. Like, you got to move forward and like learn from it and try to be better. I think it's always awesome when two people want to be better. It's really bad when one person is like, no, you need to be better. I'm good. Like, that's bad, right? That's not going to take anyone anywhere, right? But agreeing to disagree, and I might not see it your way, but I can appreciate why you feel that way. And we always say, like, as soon as I say this, people are going to know where I got it. But now this is extreme, but I think there's a part of relationships that you got to be a leader. And what's leadership? They say three words. It's my fault. Hmm. And that doesn't mean it's always your fault. It means that what role did you play? Is there something you could have been better at? Hmm. Like if there are people that say, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. Come on, man. Maybe there's something you could have done better. I think that's an important part of any relationship.
Yep.
Could you have been better? Yeah, of course. The answer is always of course. But having two people that feel that way, it's going to be a powerful friendship, relationship, whatever.
Well, thank you for sharing your powerful story.
Too much. You have to edit a lot of that out.
Yeah. Thank you, bro.
Thank you for the therapy session.
So much. Yeah. And Mark's story reminds us that pain isn't the end, right? It's often the beginning of our journey, and you don't need to be born the most talented. You don't need a perfect past, a perfect life. You just need to show up every single day with intention, with grit, with heart. Because when you show up, you know, you don't just build an amazing body. You build a legacy. You build a family. You build, you know, a future. So stay strong, stay kind, and keep showing up for yourself.